I speak in the name of God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good Friday is one of those unique days in the year. And I, every year since I've been ordained, have been asked the question at least once, why is it called good? Whenever we are remembering the death of the Lord Jesus, why is it referred to as Good Friday and not some other more reasonable title? And of course, we all know that the reason that it is called good is because Jesus died for the good of the whole world. He died for each of us. He died for you and for me. Tonight, I want us to think in light of what we had read from John's Gospel, of the sayings of Christ from the cross. Now, don't panic. You're not going to get seven long sermons. But I do want us to think individually of what Jesus said and what they mean then and what they mean for us today. John's Gospel gives us two of them. The first recorded in the Gospels that Jesus said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, as we know, was taken by people who despised him, who rejected him. He was sentenced to a criminal's death. He was nailed to a cross by people who didn't understand the purpose for which he came. He was an innocent man, but yet he died a criminal's death. And yet, in his grace and in his truth, he cried out that the God the Father would forgive those who had placed him there. In that statement, Jesus is including you and I, because still today, in this world, the cross of Christ means an absolute lot to believers, but nothing to the people of the world. We recall the other evening the sentence of Scripture that says the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus gives us a lesson of humility, that even though people wrong us and even though people persecute us, the correct response is to forgive, always to forgive. No matter how difficult it may be, no matter how hard it may seem, as God's people, we are called to mirror Christ and to forgive. Then Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was hanging on a cross, and on either side of him were criminals. And they were having sort of conversations, you could say, as they were on the cross. They weren't easy conversations. One was mocking Jesus and saying all sorts of nasty things to him, even at the point of death. He was saying, like, "If you are the Son of God, come down and save yourself and us with you." To which the thief on the other side said to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." The response that Jesus gave to the repentant thief was, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." There was no great act of church profession. There was no sacramental worship. There was just the humble and simple confession of a sinner and the forgiveness offered by the Lord. For you and for I, this brings immense hope and immense assurance that through the death of Christ, placing our trust in him, he will bring us to his kingdom. And one day will say to us in our own personal pilgrimages, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Then Jesus said, as we heard read in John's Gospel, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple whom Jesus loved, "Behold your mother." Even at the point of death, Jesus still cared for his human family. He cared and loved his mother, as all sons do. He cried out in, you could say, in a hint of despair, but also in a hint of compassion, to the disciple to look after his mother until her journey end. Each of us have a responsibility to look out for each other and to care for each other, even to the point of death. We all journey a road, and the road for each of us is very different. But that road should, for all of us, lead to the one place. We should care for each other and look out for each other. Then Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When we hear the gospel accounts of what Jesus went through, especially John's gospel that gives it in so much detail, we can understand why Jesus would have felt this way and why he might have, in a human context, have cried out, where is God in all this? Every single one of us, I'm sure, has done that at some stage or another in our lives, has cried out, where is God, whenever we are in despair? But that's not why Jesus cried this out. He cried for a different reason. When he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that particular moment in time, Jesus was taking upon him the sins of the whole world. He was taking upon himself your sin and my sin. And God the Father cannot and will not look upon sin. And so at that moment, he turned his face away, as we'll sing in a few moments in our next hymn. Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was actually acknowledging at that point that he was dying for you and for me. Then he cried out, I thirst. Again, a human reaction. He was thirsty, hanging on the cross. His body was becoming dehydrated. All the fluids was draining from him. He was thirsty. But yet, in crying this out, he was fulfilling what is written in the Old Testament, that they would offer him sour wine or wine vinegar, that they would hand it to him on a hyssop plant, that he would drink from it just before he died. I also wonder, is there more significance to this? Because last evening, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. In taking this drink, in saying, I thirst, was he acknowledging that he was fulfilling his Father's will and actually drinking from the cup that was placed before him. Then he said, it is finished. Out of all the statements from the cross, this one is probably my favorite. Because at that particular moment, Jesus was saying that his work was complete. In that reading from Hebrews chapter 10 that we read together earlier on, it explains to us the purpose for why Jesus had to die. Up until that point, the ritual that was required to get into heaven was to offer the sacrifice of an animal, of a bull or a lamb or a dove, of some pure, clean animal. And yet God could see that people were offering this sacrifice and then going back to their old way of living. God knew that he had to offer the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And so when Jesus cried out, it is finished, he is saying that the Old Testament rituals, of which was required previously to have forgiveness of sins, is no longer required. That he was the Lamb and is the Lamb, and that through his death and the shedding of his blood, that we now have the way by which to come to heaven. The book of Hebrews also explains to us that this is a message for both Jew and Gentile. It is for all of creation, not just for God's covenant people. Then finally, Jesus cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In this statement, Jesus is showing us that up until the very end, He was in full control. He could have, at any stage, have said, enough's enough. He tells us in John's Gospel of how that when he was in the garden, he said that I could send for legions of angels to come and attend to me, but I choose not to. I choose to do my Father's will instead. Right up until the point of death, Jesus was in full control. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Every single one of us needs to pray this sentence. Every single one of us needs to place our spirits into the hands of the living God. In light of all these statements, in light of all these things that Jesus said from the cross, one question remains for you and for me. And that is, what does the cross actually mean for you? For believers, it means everything. It is our point of salvation. It is the gift of God for every single one of us. For believers, it is at the point where Jesus died in my place and in your place. But for those who don't believe, for those who haven't trusted in Christ, the cross means nothing. The death of Jesus on the cross for them was pointless. Yes, Jesus did die for every one of us, but he asks us to respond to him by placing our trust in him, by fully believing in his death. There's an old gospel hymn that says, there is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. The last line of it is, wash all my guilty stains. Every single one of us, without exception, is born with sin. Every single one of us is born in a sinful way. We have sin in our lives. And as we journey through life, we never have to be taught how to sin. We just seem to know how to do it naturally. And yet Jesus is saying to us, I can take all that sin away. I can wash away all your guilty stains if you would only just believe in me. The cross of Jesus is hope, assurance, forgiveness, and salvation to all who believe. The challenge is, do we actually believe it? Do we believe that Jesus died for me and for you? The death of Jesus was not an easy death. It was not something that was simple and was over within a few minutes. It lasted for hours. The pain and the anguish that he must have gone through. The scriptures tell us that he was in so much agony that he actually sweat drops of blood. It must have been horrible. It must have been terrifying. But yet he did it for you and for me. He did it all out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave Jesus to die for you and for me. What do we do? Do we believe or do we reject? Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Amen.